Scripture reading this evening comes to us from Psalm 15. Psalm 15. And we'll also be reading Lord's Day 43, which is found on page 55 in the back of the blue. But we'll start with God's Word. Psalm 15. We'll be reading the whole psalm. It's only five verses. Psalm 15. People of God, this is God's very word. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. There ends the reading of God's word. And we'll jump to Lord's Day 43 this evening. Only one question and answer. Question 112. And I'll read the question. If you could respond with the answers, that would be great. Question 112 asks this: what is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in the condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. All right. Well, as we reach the ninth commandment, which is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And one thing that I've been trying to show as we've been going through the Ten Commandments and the Catechism, and sometimes not as successfully as I'd hope, and that's okay, is that we always look at these, the commandments, as Jesus looked at them. That we just don't do the law on the outside and be proud of ourselves when we think we're doing them well. But we look in at our hearts and see how we're really doing. Are we doing these out of gratitude? Remember what section of the catechism we're in? Or are we still trying to earn something? And well, tonight, this commandment will really show us who we are. This commandment will really show our motives. Tonight's commandment really shows us our character, doesn't it? Because our words, our speech, where does it come from? Right here, our hearts. What comes out of our mouth is from our hearts. Our words are going to give us away. Do you love to speak the truth? Or do we use our words to hurt? Do we love to speak the truth, or do we use our words to deceive? And what we're going to see tonight is how seriously God takes our speech. See, our words are powerful things, aren't they? The right word at the right time can do so much good, can it? But then the wrong word at the wrong time with the wrong motives. How much damage can our words do? you know, I worked as a chaplain and then a Christian for 5 years, and I worked with youth. And if you know anything about youth, kids can be pretty mean with their words. And I think it was either my second year or my first year. I don't remember. It's been a while. I did this chapel called Speak Life to the students. It's using a Toby Mac song. Yeah, I know. Don't judge me. I told them that their words could bring life, or their words could bring death. Many of you have heard this story. So they needed to speak life. I tell them all the time, speak life into your friends on campus. And the students that year took it to heart. They made it their theme for the year. They put it on shirts. They made it in the yearbook. But the next year they had a new theme. And as Christians, I think this shouldn't just be a yearly theme. No, for Christians, this should be life. For Christians, this should be what we do every day. Speak life. Speak truth. Use our words to build up. Not to speak lies, not to speak death. Really, the ninth commandment, it's a character thing, isn't it? It shows us who we are, our character. Do we lie to get ahead? Even a little bit. Do we lie to get out of trouble? Or do we do our best with our words to be truthful as much as we can? So tonight, it's helpful to consider the ninth commandment. Now we can see all over Scripture, can't we? Both the Old and New Testament, that being a witness is a powerful thing. Using our words is a powerful thing. To be a witness is to speak the truth. That's what we're called to do. And to know that bearing false witness is a sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness. If you read through Scripture, you see trials, and they always have the two witnesses. You have to have two witnesses. And you would hope that if you were ever in a trial, that you would have witnesses that would speak the truth. Because if they don't, you can be put to death. It's never a good thing. You want credible witnesses. And tonight the question is, are you a credible witness? Do you speak the truth? In 1 Kings, there's this story about how Jezebel set up a plot to take Naboth's land because her husband, the evil King Ahab, went home crying because he wanted that land and Naboth wouldn't give it to him. So she made this plan up to have this feast, and they would put Naboth at the head of the table, and everyone was there to celebrate Naboth, they thought. And then Jezebel put the plan into motion and got two false witnesses to come forward to bring accusation against him, telling lies. They said that Naboth both cursed God and king. You remember what happened to Naboth? He was taken outside, stoned to death. Next, jump to the New Testament. We know this story well. Think about Jesus and his trial. And if you take the stories together, we find out that the chief priests couldn't really find anybody to say anything bad about Jesus. So they went and they searched and they looked. They needed somebody to bring false testimony against Christ so they could put him to death. And they found him. Dishonest men. So when we read the Heidelberg Catechism, question 112 tonight, it seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a cause. Pretty straightforward. And then I brought up Psalm 15 tonight as our text. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? What's the standard? He who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Who can be in God's presence? That's the question. Not the one who bears false witness. Right, one of these things, as we grow up and we hear the Ten Commandments all the time, we kind of start to shrink them like the Pharisees did and make them as easy as possible. But like I said, once you look at these as Jesus looked at them, and you start focusing in on your heart, and you realize how big even this ninth commandment can be. Like, we can't even be in the presence of God. Do we speak truth in our heart? Right, this is how the Christians should live. How you doing? This should be who we are. This should be our character. When people talk to the Christian, they should be able to trust what we say. Listen to Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to read a few verses. Proverbs chapter 12, starting at verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. See, this just isn't in the courtroom, is it? No, this needs to be an everyday thing. This has to be everyday life for the Christian. This is who we're supposed to be. Our words expose this. The Catechism says, in the courts and everywhere else. And looking back at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. That hurts. See, we all know how it feels, don't we? To be on the receiving end of that. The receiving end of speech that hurts. See, the sad thing is that most people don't even know they're saying hurtful things or harmful things. You know what's even more sad? We could also say that we've done this, haven't we? To somebody else. Knowingly or not. But we need to remember this, beloved, is that lies or deceptive speech is something that God hates. Even the littlest one. Even the tiniest little lie. Those white lies that we think it's okay because we don't like our boss or our teacher is very mean and we're trying to cut corners. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So instead of using words that hurt like the sword, the proverb says, the tongue of the wise promotes health. That needs to be the words of the Christian, doesn't it? What brings glory to God? Words that heal. Words that comfort rather than cause pain. Words that ease fear. Don't cause fear, that's bad. Words that ease fear rather than add to anxiety. And so we speak to heal, don't we? We speak to heal. We speak to build up. We use our words to speak life into somebody. We see people hurting. So what do? We go talk to them. And what's the ultimate helpful thing to tell them? About Jesus. Use our words to tell people about Jesus. See, don't get me wrong. We don't just use our words flippantly or to appease someone's hurt feelings. But we use our words to speak to people like Jesus would speak to them. Beloved, we live in a world that hurts, don't we? You can see it on people's faces. Are we the kind of people that just walks on by when somebody's in pain? Or do we use our words to build them up, to show them love? See, it's applying the word of God to the situation where people find hope. Do we use our words to heal? And not just little spiffy statements we see on social media. You know, I was thinking about this. What words can we use? You ever asked that? What should I tell somebody? Well, use God's word. How often do you tell somebody something that you've read in Scripture to give them hope, to heal their hurt? Right? We have a whole book of God's word that we can use, a book of truth, right? You know, worldly wisdom, sure, you could say something you saw on the internet, and that can give some temporary comfort, but only God's word gives comfort in life and in death. Worldly wisdom speaks somewhat true things sometimes, but God's word is the truth. God's word you could bring to any situation. Only God's word can bring true healing. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have the right word for the right time every time, does it? Sometimes it's just good to cry with somebody. Have you done that? Sometimes it's just good to mourn with somebody. Sometimes it's just good to hurt with somebody. Sometimes it's just good to have joy with somebody. Sometimes that's all we can do. But it also means that we need to know these people. How many times do you sit in the pews and you see people hurting in the pew over, but you don't even know what they're hurting about? And we're in the same church. How can I use the word of God to help anybody if we don't know what they're suffering? See, we must know the people in our own circles, the people who we see on a regular basis, so that we can be ready to use healing words. Now you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor, okay, I agree with you in general. Generally, this is going to work. That I need to speak words of healing, words of truth. You might be thinking to yourself, how? Again, turn to the word. How often are you reading this? Remember, what goes in, but in here, not in our mouth, comes out of our hearts. The more you read Scripture, the more it's just going to come out. That's why we should be reading our Bibles. And the best thing about reading Scripture is when you go through it, you can see life's messy. You know, if you started read the Bible through the year, this year, you're probably somewhere in Genesis, maybe 22 or 23, at least that's where I'm at. You see how messy life can be already for God's people. So it gives you kind of a clue how it's going to be out there. What's great about reading the Bible is that it shows us that our messy life, but it also shows us the wisdom to heal people with our words. It takes wisdom to know which words to speak. It takes wisdom to know words of truth, words that heal, words that bring life. Now, another thing we want to talk about this evening is when we consider how high the standard is for godly speech. Going back to the Heidelberg Catechism, we should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. But like I said earlier, this is pretty hard to do. Listen to this in the book of James. We can read this in chapter 3. But no man can tame the tongue. What? Yeah. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. See, if it's so hard to do this, and your tongue, you can't even tame it, who can do this then? Is this just a pipe dream for us to try our best and we know we're going to fail? Who speaks in a way that never intends to hurt anyone? Who speaks in a way that every time they speak, then they confront a difficult situation, they have the right word to say? Who can do that? Who is the one who's never told a lie? Sure isn't us. See, the fact is, when we are confronted with this high standard of speech, this godly speech, we have to say none of us can really do it perfectly. But there was one who did. And you know where I'm going with this. Listen to 1 Peter talking about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judged righteously. The man Jesus Christ did this perfectly. It was Jesus that came as the one who never spoke in a sinful way. And all through Jesus' life, they tried to put words in his mouth, didn't they? Didn't you say this, Jesus? Always trying to trap him in his words, saying that he said something that he didn't. Listen to this from John chapter 8. It's a fairly long reading, but you'll get what I'm trying to say. John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, well, then you're free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceedeth forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Thou shalt not bear false witness. This is a character thing, isn't it? Where do lies come from? Oh yeah, the devil. Jesus says, "Can any of you accuse me of anything? I've said or done nothing wrong." He only spoke the truth and built people up with his words. Beloved, he did that for us. Who's the ultimate example of speaking the truth? Jesus is. He came as the one with perfect speech, as a representative think of this right now. He's still speaking for you right now. You remember what he's doing right now? He's forever interceding for you before the Father. His perfect speech for you continues forever. One theologian said this, his obedience of speech is our obedience of speech now. And it's because of his work we are now accounted righteous. Can you believe that? We are counted as if our lips have never lied. Think about that. All the evil words that have come out of our mouth, all the deceit that's come out of our mouth, even those white little lies from our heart. In Christ, it's like it never happened. It's because of him that we can read our text from Psalm tonight, Psalm 15. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly. But that's not me. He who works righteousness. Again, that's not me. He who speaks the truth in his heart. We can't say those things. But Christ can. Christ can. And he stands for us. He's our representative. And if you have your faith in Christ, he covers you with his righteousness that you can stand in the tabernacle. Now you can be in that holy hill. I'll end with this, Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. See, without Christ, we couldn't do this. We would be exactly with our father, the devil, still speaking lies, still speaking deceit, speaking untruths, using our words as a sword to hurt people. But when we're in Christ, our character is changed. We're not the same person anymore. Our words bring life. Now we have a character of righteousness. See, I hope that we want to be the one that the catechism says this about. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. That's what we should be striving for. That's the character of the Christian now. A character that speaks life. And it's not just for a theme for the year, it's forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God,